Oh, I have my pen up here. What am I doing? Hallelujah. Let's just open in prayer. And Lord, we just bless you and thank you for this day and for the day to gather and hear from you, Lord. We just ask that our spiritual eyes and ears be open and that our hearts be open to hear from you, to hear from your word and from the Holy Spirit, and that you're leading and guiding us in the way that we need to go. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So I just wanted to encourage everyone today with God is whoever and whatever we need him to be. He's a big God, and he needs to be bigger than our problems that we see in our lives, or the issues, or whatever hard things that we're facing. He created the heavens and the earth, and he created our solar systems, and he created us. And when you think about how precise everything needs to work, all the way down to the minute details, everything in our solar system with planets needing to be able to stay certain distances apart and don't distract me. You know, and just the fact that we need gravity and all these chemical and physics reactions to be happening in our environment, and all the little things in our bodies, the precise working of all the cells and all the chemical reactions in our bodies and all the hormones and everything working properly together to make an entire body function properly. Like, when you think of all these little details, really, God is amazing. He is such a big God. He knows all the little details. He knows all the big details. He knows the whole picture of everything that we need. I really like the scripture in Exodus 3:14, where God was talking to Moses, and God was wanting to send Moses to lead Egypt, or lead Israel out of Egypt. And he just said, "Tell them I am has sent you." And in those two words, like, everything God is, how big he is in those two words. I am has sent you. And I am, like, it means surely become, surely come to pass, be at all. He just is. And he is everything that we need him to be. Leading Israel out of Egypt took amazing miracles, and he provided all these opportunities for Israel to see how much he would take care of them with all the plagues and all the disasters he caused for Egypt to be able to release Israel out of Egypt. He's so good. He's so big. And when he split the Red Sea, I mean, it's such a cool story. Split the sea so they could go across on dry ground and then cause that sea to fall in on their enemies is remarkable. He is big. And he's whatever we need. He's our healing. He's our deliverance. He's our provision. He's our wisdom. He's our joy. He's our peace. He's our health. It's good to walk in divine health every day. It's good to be healed, but then it's good to walk in divine health too. And joy and peace. Jesus said, "The peace I leave with you is not of this world. It is my peace from above." You know, when you have that peace, it doesn't matter what the storms of life are going on. Nothing can buy that peace. Nothing can replace that peace. Look, people are searching everywhere, looking to get that peace that we have because we have Jesus. You have Jesus, you have peace. Hallelujah. And he can give us peace in the midst of all of our circumstances, in the midst of all of our problems. In Genesis 15, God told Abram, he said, "I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward, your wage and your worth." And we've been given a prophecy for this year. This is a great year with a blank or several blanks behind it. You know, what is our great year? What does that mean to you? What does that mean to me? like what Pastor Jeff came up with, is getting unstuck, getting unloosed. Whatever circumstances that need to be changed and loosed need to be free. Free. Hallelujah. And so God told Abram, I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. He is our provision. He is everything that we need to overcome. Wherever we need to go, whatever we need him to be. So, and it's for his purposes. It's for his kingdom. He has plans for each and every one of us. We're put on this earth not just because we're randomly here. We're not randomly here. He has a specific plan, a specific something for each and every one of us to accomplish. And so whatever it is that we need him to be to accomplish that, he is. He will be to us. And so it's just up to us to then take hold of that and find out from him what he wants us to do. What is his plan for us? What do we need to accomplish that plan? I mean, everything we need provision in every area of our lives. You need provision for buildings, finances, people. We need provision for people. People with their gifts and anointings to function in the body so that then everyone in the world gets reached. So we know it's his will that all would be saved. He told us in Timothy that his will is that all would be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Everyone needs to be at that point where they hear the truth and then they have a choice to accept or reject. But everyone needs to come to that spot where they hear the truth. And so we need to show, and God wants to show himself big on our behalf. So we need to believe him to be big on our behalf, to be the God of glory, the God of glory that shows there is no other God in this earth. There is no other God. Glory, hallelujah. He wants to show himself strong on our behalf. And so then we need to be positioning ourselves and believing him. If we only think he's this big, you know, he really can't work very hard through us. You know, we are his body. We are his representatives here on this earth. And so if we only can show a tiny bit of him, people will only see a tiny bit, and it might not be very impressive to them. And God is impressive. He is impressive, and he can do supernatural things, you know, as well as the ordinary things. And so what is it that we're desiring from him? What do we want to accomplish for him and through him? You know, let's believe big. God is a big God. Let's believe big things of him. Let's believe him for the miracles and for the supernatural provision and for the favor, the supernatural circumstances lining up. If people just go, how did you get that? They all told us no. Where he says yes to supernatural things, and it doesn't look possible, but he makes it possible. He's the God of the impossible. And when you look at some of the names God has given himself, it shows you how big he is. Like Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider, he's able to provide anything we need. He provides. He's already provided an environment for us to live in. But then he can provide all the details that we need in our lives. The finances, the jobs, the income. Hallelujah, he's a big God. He can provide all that. And he will provide all that for us. Jehovah Nissi, Lord, our banner, or miracle, or victory. We need miracles today. It's great to have miracles. And so he will provide miracles for us if we dare to believe him. If we dare to believe him. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord, our peace. When you're in the midst of troubled, disturbing circumstances, you're in the midst of war. Like, we live in a pretty blessed area of the world where we're not always faced with day-to-day war happening. Not the kind of war that we see off in the Middle East where bombs are always going off. And but he can be our peace in the midst of all of that, regardless of where we are. Jehovah Shema, the Lord is there. He is here with us. Wherever we need him to be, wherever we are, he is there. He is there with us. Jehovah Sabbath, the Lord of hosts. And he's got angelic armies. angelic armies. He has more than enough angels to be working on our behalf if we put them to work. We just need to put them to work. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord, our healer or physician. How great is that? He made us. And therefore, he can fix us. He can put new parts in us. He can just set everything back in order the way that it was supposed to be working, the way we're supposed to be working, the way he made us to be. He is our healer. He's our provider. So we just want to expand our vision and think on this. Think on it every day, how big he is. Because the more we believe it and see him on the inside, more we will believe and use our faith to receive the supernatural miracles that we need, the supernatural provision, divine connections that we need. I want them to become big to us on the inside. So when he says, I want you to go there, and you kind of look and go, it doesn't look very safe over there. But because you trust in him and because he's so big to you, say, okay, Lord, I will go and trust that his angels are there to take you wherever it is that you need to go. Use that step of faith to walk out, because everything he asks us to do, frankly, is beyond our own personal strength and our own vision. He wants to show us bigger things. And if it wasn't bigger, it wouldn't require faith of us. If it really is just possible in our own power, there's not much. It's not very impressive, really, to anybody if we can just do it all in our own thing. No, we want to show that this was possible because of him, that he is the difference to us. He makes us different. He gives us the power and the strength and the wisdom and the anointing to make things happen, to make things possible. Hallelujah. And so we never need to have our eyes on other people. It's great to hear everyone's faith stories. I love people's stories. I love hearing people's stories of faith. But they're not where our eyes are supposed to be looking. We're supposed to be looking at Jesus, at how big God is, what God did with the miracle of sending Jesus and raising him from the dead, pay the price for our sins. So we need to always keep our eyes on him and not just looking at people. Enjoy what God is doing through people and celebrate with people their victories that God is giving them. But keep our eyes, when it comes to walking out God's plan, we have to keep our eyes on God, because he is the only one that can get us through whatever it is that we need to go through. Hallelujah. Yeah, right. And so using our faith, you know, God said without faith, it's impossible to please him. He set this all up for us to live by faith. Right from the beginning of Genesis all the way to Revelation, there is nothing that God wants accomplished that will not be without faith. Did I say that right? Everything is required of faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hallelujah. And so, and then in order to use your faith, you actually first need to know what you can use your faith on. So what did God say to you? He gave us our whole book, our whole Bible, that has revealed his will throughout all the chapters. And so it's just really, truly a matter of reading through it and asking him, what have you said in there? And then there's the personal details that you don't find in the Bible. Because my name's not written, obviously, in there, and I'm sure many of your names aren't either. And that, so he gave us the Holy Ghost then to give us all those little details of all the details that we need to know to fulfill his plans and purposes. Lots of people wander around going, okay, I know there's a God. I know there's Jesus. He died. He rose again from the dead. But I'm just waiting on him to save me. Whereas we need to take that step of faith and say, I receive you in order to be saved, because he's already provided it. He already provided the saving part of Jesus. It's just a matter of receiving him. All those who receive Jesus get the Father. And so that's why we need the book, because his will already told us what we needed to do to receive Jesus. He already told us it's his will that all would be saved. So we're not wondering if you need to be saved, although some people are, but then they need to hear it. They need to hear it from the Word of God that by faith you accept Jesus and everything else that we need in this life. God is so good. He provides whatever we need. You know, in Philippians 4:19, he said, I meet all your need, all your want, all your desires, according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Well, in the early years of my faith, I knew I was called to go to Bible school. But then I was in a car accident, and my car was totaled, and Matthew was a baby. And so I didn't have a vehicle to get around with. I had the bus. Not that there's anything wrong with the bus, but the logistics of going to school and working and a babysitter doesn't work very well with the bus system. And cabs are expensive. And it just really, the logistics of being able to get around, you just need your own vehicle. And I needed a vehicle debt-free. Didn't have the finances. So however it needed to work, whether God provided finances or the vehicle debt-free, I just wanted a good running vehicle debt-free. And I really didn't know what I want, so I just kind of left it up to God, because he knows us, and he delights in giving things to us. He likes to surprise us. You know, people like good surprises where something speaks to your heart you didn't even know you like, and some, you go, oh, wow, like, thank you. It brings such joy to your heart when someone does something special for you. Or you could be very detailed and be like, God, I like this type of car, and these kind of options in it, and you could get very specific, and he would do that for you too, you know. But where I was at, it was just like, I just need a car. And so I stood on that scripture, Philippians 4:19, and walk around and say, I believe I receive my car, debt-free, good running car, and I'd thank the Lord for it, because I'd already prayed him in. It was his will, you know, take care of us. And so I asked him for a car, and then after that, it was just, thank you, Lord, I believe I receive my car. And just a little over a year, we were at a church service. It was on a Sunday morning, and a couple I'd never met before in my life, they were not regular members of our church, came up to me after the service and said they'd like to talk to me, and said they believe God put it on their heart for them to give me their car. And so, glory to God. Hallelujah. Had my car debt free, and then that fall I was able to start Bible school. Hallelujah. And start fulfilling that plan. You know, it wasn't just about having a car. It makes life easier, but it was enabled me to be able to follow God's plan. It was needed to follow God's plan for me to go to Bible school. Hallelujah. So it was very exciting. In Ephesians 5:17, the Amplified Version says, therefore, do not be foolish and thoughtless, but understand and firmly grasp what the will of the Lord is. So he's given us some wisdom that it is our responsibility to find out what the will of the Lord is. We have his book, and now we also have his Holy Spirit, who can lead and guide us into all direction. And so gives us the details. So it is important that we find out what his will is, what the specifics are, whatever specifics we need to know, he will share with us. Hallelujah. We have the general things, and the Holy Spirit gives us specific things. Hallelujah. So when you know what his will is, then that's when you can go to him and ask in faith. Say, okay, Lord, you have said such and such, and then ask him for it. Ask him. And then after that, it's a faith project. We believe, we receive. Hallelujah. When you know what the will is, then you're ready to pray. And so knowing his will helps us to stand in faith, because there can be a long time between knowing something and the time it happens. And therefore, through, like Jeff said, through faith and patience, we inherit the promises. That patience part can be very long. It can take many years. It can be a short time. Some things can happen very quickly. But then there's other things that take a while, like finding a spouse. That's not, that's a little bit more logistics involved than just receiving, needing some money. I mean, money can come very quickly. Doesn't matter how many people God asks, he will have somebody who's obedient to him to provide, or the right job will open up. That doesn't always have to take very long. But finding a spouse, it was longer for Jeff than it was for me. But because you need to find out specifics. You know, there's 7 billion people on this earth. Well, who? Who are you supposed to marry? Like, there's a lot of people to look through. And for me, what helped me was knowing I was called to be a pastor's wife, because I knew then a vague who, what type of person am I looking for. And then God just encourages you along the way. He gave me different words and he gave me scriptures to stand on. One of them he gave me was Hebrews 10:23, about holding fast your confession of faith. Let's read it. Yep, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Hallelujah. And so my struggle, I mean, you don't have to be married if you don't want to be married. So I had to settle that first in my heart before I could have faith then to believe God for a spouse. But then he gave me that scripture to stand on. Hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. You know, and sometimes there'd be a prospect and they looked promising, and I'd hear that whisper in my heart. It's like, wait, I have something better for you. I have something better. And he does do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. You know, God gave me Jeff, and he's an awesome husband, an awesome partner, more than what I asked or could think of, because he did so many things just in the natural, even, that just makes life so much better. Hallelujah. But my part of standing in faith was to hold fast my confession, and without wavering. You know, we don't, as soon as we start to waver in doubt, we lose track then of where our heart's supposed to be at. And you're not in faith. As soon as you start doubting and wavering, you lose that confidence in the faith and that will of knowing his plan and what the details are. And so he gave me that scripture to stand on. That's what I stood on. I'd say, thank you, Lord. I believe I received my husband. Hallelujah. My godly man of God, my godly man of faith. Hallelujah. Because, you know, holding on to that through faith and patience. And the storms come against you, and it looks like it's happening for everyone else. And if you look at everyone else's stuff, you get disappointed. And you wonder, you can start wondering, how come it's taking so long? Why isn't it happening for me? You know, they hardly started believing and it happened for them. What? You know, it can happen all kinds of ways. And that's why we just need to keep hearing from God on the inside. Just wait. You know, we wait on him. He has someone specific for us. And so, hallelujah. So we just stand on his word, no matter what's going on around us, and keep holding on to that confession, that believing in our heart. Because when we're speaking God's word, it is sending God's angels out to. He gave us ministering angels. They're out ministering on our behalf. But if we're not speaking God's word, they don't work. They only respond to God's word. But if we're double-minded and double-saying stuff out of our mouths, they're like, stop and go, stop and go, stop and go, like, you know, we stop them from working. And so we watch our confession. Hallelujah. In Matthew 6:10, Jesus told us to pray that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So if God's will was actually being done, he wouldn't have told us to pray that God's will be done. We need to specifically pray that God's will be done in our lives, in the lives of the church family, on this earth. Like I already said, we already know it's his will that all would be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So we need to be praying constantly that that would be happening. You know, it's not enough that we're saved. We've got family members, we've got friends, we've got coworkers that haven't come to that place yet, that they know it's God's will. You can be healed, you can be well, you can be joyful. Lots of people still don't know that this is possible. And so it is important for us to be praying always that God's will be done. And I know for work, for my coworkers, when I concentrate on that more and about the fact that that all will be saved and come to the knowledge of his truth, it's amazing how it opens up doors at work and people come up with questions and I'm able to minister God's word. And those are like my favorite days at work. When I can share something about God, the true living God, he is, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. With Jesus, we get our Heavenly Father. And so when we're praying these, it's opening up that spiritual realm so that people's spiritual ears, they're hungry in their hearts, and they come and ask questions. And it's fun. It's fun to be able to minister the truth to people. Hallelujah. And you get to plant seeds into their lives. Hallelujah. One example of love praying Psalm 91 every day. In verse 14, it's like the Father was responding. He said, because he, meaning like you or I, has set our love upon me, meaning God the Father, Jesus, therefore he will deliver us. He will set us on high because we've known his name. We shall call upon him. He will answer us. He will be with us in trouble. He will deliver us and honor us. With long life, he will satisfy us and show us his salvation. Hallelujah. I love praying that every day because he has long life for us. And it doesn't matter that there's trouble. He is with us. He is there for us. And so then we just stand on his word. He gave us his word to provide life and health to our flesh and bone. Hallelujah. He gave us lots in his book to know his will. And he gave us the Holy Spirit. And we can make much of praying in the Holy Spirit to access provision for him. Provision from him. Hallelujah. So we live by faith and not by sight. Without faith, it's impossible to please the Lord. And we need deep roots of faith. And faith comes by hearing and hearing from the Word of God. And so we need to constantly grow our roots deeper and deeper through the Word so that we can stand through the opposition and stand through the trouble and stand through circumstances turning totally against you. Not everything's rosy and not everything goes smooth and according to plan. And so he gave us faith and he gave us his word so that we can be strong. And so the word waters us. Just like when you water your garden, as you water your garden and your seeds, they grow roots and the roots get deeper and deeper. And you can use specific watering strategies to develop deeper roots so that your plants and vegetables will survive in times of drought, times of heat, times of pressure. Times of pressure. And so the word is our water. Waters us. Hallelujah. We plant the word in our hearts. Keep it rooted so we can be rooted and grounded. And everything that we do, from getting into the kingdom, we were born again by faith. We get healed by faith. We get provision by faith. We just walk by faith. We walk across the street by faith, trusting that vehicles are not going to run that red light. Because Every area of our lives requires faith. Even when we go to bed at night, we go to bed in faith that everything's going to be okay throughout the night. We're going to wake up in the morning. We're going to still be alive in the morning. God's will is being done. We're being protected while we sleep because we need to sleep. You know, everything that we don't even sometimes realize how much we use faith in all the little areas of our lives. Everything. He created everything for us to live by faith. In John 15:7. John 15:7. Jesus said, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you." If you abide in me and my words abide in you. So every day we can choose to live in Jesus, put his word in us, for his words to live inside of us. And he said, we'll ask. And because he's living in us and his word is living in us, we will ask correctly. You know, it's not necessarily ask for any evil thing that's going on. It will ask like according to his will. We will for good things and whatever it is, because, you know, if you need a new vehicle, there's plenty of different vehicles out there. But what's his will for which vehicle? He can show you. He knows where the lemons are. He knows if somebody's being honest or not and how they're representing their car. And so he will lead and guide us. And we ask in faith. We don't need to doubt. Hallelujah. And in Mark 11:24. I'll just start in 20, verse 22, Mark 11:22. So Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God, for surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." So in 24, verse 24, Jesus said to us, the things that you ask for when you pray, you believe you receive them.
Right.
He didn't say, God will believe for you. He already believes. He's already done amazing things. He's already fully, perfectly in faith. Jesus told us it's our responsibility that we believe we receive them. And that's why when I've prayed for something, anything, then after I've prayed and I believe I receive, then after that, when I'm thanking God for it happening, I always say, I believe I receive such and such. Thank you, Lord. I believe I receive my husband. I thank you. I receive my new car. I take those words literally, and it builds up that faith on the inside of you till it becomes so big on the inside of you. Usually way more excited in that believing process than when it actually happens. Because then when it happens, it's like, oh, yeah, it was going to happen. But you get so excited when that becomes so big on the inside of you. And you can just feel like that power straight to heaven. Oh, that power. Hallelujah. You just feel the heavens open up and the angels, boom, all of a sudden, even though it's been several years, it happens. Hallelujah. So our job, our responsibility is to work on our believing, that we believe we receive. God doesn't have a problem believing. He's already believed. He already wrote out what he believed that he wanted us to know. He gave us the book. He gave us the end right through to Revelation. Now, if we get kind of discouraged by what's going on sometimes, we can just go back to Revelation and start reading about when Jesus comes back. And when that devil gets locked up and gets chained up in the fire pit, hallelujah, his end is short. You know, so it's exciting that God has given us a hint as to the future. So faith is a choice. Every day, we choose. We choose to believe or to not believe. We're always believing something. It's actually just whether it actually lines up with God's word or not. You know, whether it's something good to believe or something not so good to believe. We're always constantly choosing to believe. And so when those mountains show up in our lives, Jesus told us, you speak to that mountain. You speak to it and tell it to be gone. You believe that that will happen for you. You will have it. It's your job. God's not going to come down and speak to our mountains. He doesn't tell us, or he doesn't tell the rocks to move out of the way, or whatever obstacle. He told us to tell that, whatever that circumstance is, whatever that issue, that problem is, to be gone in the name of Jesus. And so we are his body on this earth. We are his arms, his eyes, his words, his heart, his believing. We are down here and we need to do it. Hallelujah. So God is big. He will back us up. We stand on his word. He is there with his power. He will back us up. You know, and faith receives. You believe, you receive. So faith believes. You know, if someone hands you a present, birthday present, you go, oh no, I can't receive that. You go, no, I bought it for you. How awkward is that when people refuse to take something that you bought them? It's a little bit, almost a little bit insulting. It's like, no, here, I gave this to you. I did it for you. It's for you. And you go, oh no, I can't receive that. That's a little bit insulting. And I think God can kind of feel the same way. Like, no, I gave it to you. Just take it. Take it. Don't argue back and forth with whether or not you can have it. Just take it. Hallelujah. Faith receives. You say, thank you. And when people are gracious to say thank you and excited, you're excited for them, like that they're you did something good for them. You made them happy. Hallelujah. Faith does not beg. You know, when someone brings you a present, says, I bought this for you, here, take it. And you get on your knees and start saying, please, please, can I have it? Can I have it? And they're saying, yeah, here, take it. But you're on your knees begging them, can I have it? Can I have it? Can I have it? It's a bizarre scenario. Faith does not beg. You don't need to beg when somebody has already said, I am giving this to you. You don't need to get down on your knees and beg for it. Faith does not beg. Nothing in begging, you know, even when your pets beg, it's really not. I don't know. I don't like when pets beg. I don't think that's very cute. I think train them to just be good animals. But begging doesn't look nice on anybody. And God is not moved by wants and needs. We all have wants and needs. This whole earth has wants and needs. This whole earth wants and needs Jesus. You know, you've got drought, you've got plagues, you've got hurricanes and stuff. The earth wants to be well, the way the Garden of Eden was. You know, people want to be well. And there's tons of people that do not have enough food to eat. They're in extreme lack. They do not have food. They don't have health. They don't have any kind of provision for working. They barely subsist in deplorable conditions. No cleanliness, no clean water to drink. So there's tons of needs on this earth. But if God was just moved by needs, there wouldn't be any. He would have just taken care of it, and we just wouldn't even see any. We wouldn't have any, wouldn't see any, and then there would be no need for faith. So just having a want, just having a need does not mean that that's going to be taken care of. We must use our faith to overcome that problem of having a need or a want or needing something to change. And so people who choose to live by faith are choosing on purpose to believe something, to believe something from God's word that will change that situation, versus people who kind of just wish. Lots of people sit around and wish something would change, but they don't actually get any faith and get in the word and get something of substance to hold on to say, no, this needs to change and do something about it. Our part is using our faith every day to do something about changing our situations. In the Old Testament, when Daniel was praying, he was praying for help and for wisdom. And he kind of wondered why it was taking so long for someone to show up. It took an angel 21 days to show up. But Daniel didn't give up his praying. He wasn't going to give up. And he found out after from that angel that there was opposition in the heavenlies. There is opposition out there that we can't see. There's opposition we can see, and there's opposition that we can't see. And so, but he didn't give up, and his answer finally broke through. So when we don't give up, we will get our answer. The woman with the issue of blood spent many years trying to get well. And when she found her answer, Jesus, she did whatever she had to get to Jesus. She wasn't supposed to be out in the public. She knew Jesus could fix her. And so she went out in spite of the fact that it was actually kind of against the law for her to be out in public with her issues. In Matthew 15, Actually, I'll start in 22. A woman of Canaan came out from the region when Jesus had gone out from Tyre and Sidon. And she cried out to him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." But Jesus didn't answer her. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she cries out after us." So I take it that wasn't the first time that she said that. She must have been constantly saying, "Have mercy on me." And Jesus finally answered her. He said, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." So she was not a Jewish lady. Jesus knew he was sent to the Jews. But she knew that he could help. And she came and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he told her, he said, "It's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. You don't take food from the children to feed your pets. You don't do that." And that was the spiritual things. Jesus was ministering to the Jews. And then from there, they were supposed to take the word to the world. And she said, "Yes, Lord, but even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Pets still get treats from the table. So even though she knew she was not part of the covenant, she wasn't part of the covenant for healing, but she knew even the pets partake of the family dinner sometimes, whatever is left. And so Jesus answered her and said, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. So even though she wasn't even part of the covenant, she went after. She knew. She knew that he could help her. And that he would. And he told her, "Great is your faith." Even though she was outside of the covenant, Jesus is moved by faith. Hallelujah. So we don't receive according to God's ability to answer. We receive according to our ability to receive. So she had a great ability to receive. It didn't matter that those circumstances said that she shouldn't. You know, the promise would have been available to her after Jesus had died. But she took it ahead of time, which is, that's why he told her, "Great is your faith." He was impressed. Hallelujah. Healing was the children's bread, but she received her healing for her daughter far ahead of the covenant promise. So no matter which way you go, no matter which path you take, you're faced with different options before you, but you believe God either way, like no matter what you come up against, whether you have an issue with health, you know, some things you think, do I need to go see a doctor for this or not? You know, and so you ask the Lord for wisdom for that, so you know which way to go. you know, or you have an issue, you've seen a doctor, and they're recommending surgery. Well, you shouldn't just automatically assume you should have surgery. You really should ask the Lord, Lord, what is your will in this? Because there are many things that need to line up for a surgery to go well. And so you need to know from him, like, do I wait? Do I not? Where do I go for this? And so, because you can just go ahead and have surgery without hearing from him. And, I mean, whether you have surgery or not, it cannot work out for you either way. It doesn't matter. So we need to use our faith to find out from him which way, what is the path that we take for this. Hallelujah. Oh, I lost my spot. Hallelujah. So Jesus told people, your faith has made you well. Your faith has healed you. Your faith has saved you. He has shown us everything is about us using our faith to believe him. We don't receive according to what he can do. We receive according to our faith. So then it's our job to believe that God is big enough, that he's willing, that he's able to perform on our behalf, whatever it is that we need. He is big enough and able to perform. He will take care of us. We just need to go after him, find out what it is that he desires to be happening in our lives at this instant, in this plan, and use our faith to stand on those promises. Use our faith to believe he is well able to perform what he said he would, that he is our healer, he is our provider, and that he will work miraculous, whatever that he needs to work out. Yeah. Hallelujah. So I hope that encourages you about just believing that God is big enough, he's able, and we just stick with using our faith to believe and receive from him and let him have his way and show his glory on our behalf. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that's...